We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Bible says in verse number 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." You understand, don't you, that the Lord Jesus ate the Passover supper one night and became the Passover lamb the next night. This is the night before the crucifixion of Christ. The Bible says, verse 24, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood." Now that alone tells us that the Lord's Supper is not just the Passover reinstituted, because this is a new covenant. It's not the same as the old covenant. It's not the Passover. It says, "This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." You understand that different churches will do this differently. I wonder how many of you have been in a church, you don't have to raise your hand, but that partook of the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Maybe some of you have been there. In other churches, that'll have it two times a year or six times a year. The Bible just says, This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. It's a memorial and a remembrance. "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." You've probably heard it stated before, but there's really three directions during the Lord's Supper. One is to look backward. That is, it's a time of remembrance. We're remembering what Christ has done for us. It's a time to look inward, that if we'll judge ourselves, we won't be judged. We're confessing our sin to God, making sure there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. And then there's the look forward. We do this until he comes. There's both the backward, the inward, and the forward direction. The Bible says, I think this is a part that sometimes causes people to fear. Verse 27, and I just want to see exactly what it says. Verse 27, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily," there it is again, "eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye may come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." I always like it when Paul says, "the rest when I set in order when I come." It sounds like there's quite a grocery list. When you go back to chapters 3 and 4, he says, "Do you want me to bring a rod when I come?" And it sounds like he's dealing with small children. And they were. They were acting like children. Carnal, fleshly, strifes and divisions were among them. There are several things I just want to point out. One of them is that there's a church, several churches actually, that teach different variations of transubstantiation, where the bread actually becomes the what? The body of Christ. And they teach that the juice actually becomes the blood of Christ. That creates an incredible problem in the Word of God, because Leviticus chapter 7, God said that men were forbidden to eat and to drink what? Blood. So you have this, the very cross of Christ becomes a sin in the celebration of it, because you're eating and drinking the blood. So that is an inconsistency. What does it mean? Well, we know that the bread represents the body of Christ. The blood is represented by the juice. And the very word, the Bible often uses the word is to show how one thing represents another. Matthew 13, the field is the world. The seed, Luke 8:11, is the word of God. Now, seeds are not Bibles, but it's representing that in that illustration. So we see that Christ is not re-sacrificed every time we do this. Once for all. Neither is his blood repeatedly taken and shed for us or presented before the Father for us. This was a once for all salvation. Having said this, I want us to consider that verse 27 that I brought up already. What does it mean to, when it says, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. There was a problem. What was the problem at Corinth? There was a problem with people who were coming to church. It was kind of a, they brought lots of food back then. And what did they do? They gorged themselves. It became a rush to the food. It became a people eating everything before others so that the poor didn't even have any part in it. And it became a not discerning what the whole point of this is, which is the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he says the way we're eating and drinking unworthily, we're eating and drinking damnation. That's a curious wording. Please pass the potatoes. Please pass the steak and a small helping of damnation. That doesn't make sense to us. That doesn't make sense. They're eating and drinking damnation. The eating unworthily was tied to the eating. The eating and damnation is tied to the eating. It was, they were eating in such a way that they were putting their flesh first, not discerning the whole picture here. Christ. I was in a church in New Jersey where after the service, all the kids ran to the front and grabbed it and were tied up in a little fight over the bread and the juice to get it and who could drink the most before. And that stopped like that. The pastor got a hold of those parents and those children and set it straight. It's shocking to us to hear something like that, I think. Especially in light of, okay, the church has been very cautious through the ages. No one's going to gorge themselves on anything we have up here. We've swung to an extreme to say, it's a picture, we're not going there again. And that's not a bad extreme. There are some things that are put in place as cautionary measures, and that's one of them. But I want to point out, some folks will say, well, I believe if I were to eat and drink the Lord's Supper tonight, that I would be eating unworthily, and so I can't partake. Well, two things. If you're discerning this is about the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ broken and shed for me, and I love my Lord, you're not eating and drinking unworthily. And second, when we come to this Lord's Supper service and we pass around the elements, we're very careful, aren't we? The whole service revolves around it. The Bible says in chapter 11, verse 28, will you look, but let a man examine himself and so let him eat. It's a time of examination. And of course, the early church was having a problem with maybe some extremes in Corinth. And one of them was not honoring the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want us to understand that this is not only an ordinance commanded by God to remember what the Lord Jesus has done for us, but as long as we are discerning, this is all about our Savior and we love him and he died for us. If you have that perspective, you don't have to be concerned about eating and drinking unworthily if we're discerning the Lord's body. That's what it's all about. Now, there's a handout I've given to you, and we're going to go through this. And it's been a while since we've been through something like this. The crucifixion of our Lord and Savior. Very rarely do I just type it out, and we're going to have responsive reading back and forth. And, of course, I just got through going through the Gospel of Luke. In Sunday school, we just got into Acts. And this is a synthesis using the Gospel of Luke as the chronological basis, but we're taking Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, compiling them into a harmony. And I want us to consider tonight the crucifixion of our Lord. Now, do you see as you look down the page that it says pastor and then I read and then congregation and we all read? Do you see that? Okay. And then when we get to the bottom of this side, we turn it over and we go to the back in the reverse. So it should go back and forth. We're going to read this together. And it's, except for the first part by John Newton, it's all scripture. This morning I mentioned a Newton. That was Isaac Newton. He's different from John Newton. John Newton was the writer of Amazing Grace. So let's begin. And we'll go through this. And after we get through this, we're going to call our young people in. I don't think it's going to take us a long time, but I want us to really consider, Father in heaven, would you help us consider your Son? We so want to take the scripture to heart tonight, to read with fresh eyes, to not gloss over something because we've read it many times before. But Lord, we want to know you and your Son more closely. We want to understand what your Son did for us. Please open our eyes, work in our hearts. I pray that we would love you more as we see again what your Son did for us by your plan. In Jesus' name, amen. John Newton wrote the poem, "In evil long I took delight, unawed by shame or fear, till a new object struck my sight and stopped my wild career. I saw," what was it that stopped him? "I saw one hanging on a tree in agonies and blood. He fixed his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood. Never till my latest breath shall I forget that look. It seemed to charge me with his death, though not a word he spoke. A second look he gave, which said, 'I freely all forgive. This blood is for thy ransom paid. I die that thou mayest live.' Thus, while his death my sin displays in all its blackest hue, such is the mystery of grace. His death, it seals my pardon too." Let's go ahead and begin. I'll start with the one that says pastor. "And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place which is called Calvary, which is in the Hebrew Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And when they were come to the place, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, two thieves, were crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title, a superscription, and put it on the cross over his head. And the writing was, 'This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.' This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests to the Jews, to Pilate, 'Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews.' Pilate answered, 'What I have written, I have written.' Then the soldiers, when they crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, 'Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture, and upon my vesture, they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And sitting down, they watched him there. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, Behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he'll have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God? Seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the 6th hour. And there was a darkness over all the earth. And about the 9th hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Some of them that stood by when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it upon hyssop, a reed, and put it to his mouth and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said with a loud voice, It is finished. And the sun was darkened until the 9th hour. And he bowed his head and said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom in the midst. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion which stood over against him saw that, he cried out and gave up the ghost. He glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. Truly this man was the Son of God. And when they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God. I'm going to ask now if our men would hand out the second handout. Do you already have another handout? Okay, you got it. Okay. Dad, can I ask you to step out and get the children? I think I'd like them in here for this whole part. I think it'd be better suited for this. We have interspersed in boxes through this particular handout hymns. So as we go through this, I'll give you the number. You can turn to it in your hymn book if you'd like to. I have the words typed out for the verses, or you can go to the number. I'll give you the number when we come to the boxes, which are the hymns. May I ask you just briefly? I want to ask, as you read that, the combined account of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, several things stood out to me. I don't have time to go through them now, but I want to say that I was struck again by the mockery that Jesus received from so many different angles in the middle of his great crucifixion. I was struck by the darkness, the earthquake, and most of all by the, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I want us to consider Christ was forsaken for us. Young people, I'm glad that you've joined us here tonight. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. If you are saved, then you may partake of the Lord's Supper if your parents allow you. If you're not yet saved, then this is only for believers. I'll ask the parents to help us out with this. But we have some handouts. Do we have any handouts left? No. Okay. I do have 5 more of these handouts on the printer if we need more. Does anyone else need another handout of this one? Could anyone use one? Okay. Okay. 1, 2. Okay. He's got it. Okay. Thank you so much. So Brother Cooper's going to go get, we'll get 5 more copies that are on the printer. I didn't know I had enough. And we'll get those out. We'll deliver them. If you would, keep your hymn book handy. We're going to be going back and forth. And we're going to be looking at the Lord's Supper. Young people, just a word to you who are here today, who are young. The Lord's Supper is not a mystical or mysterious occasion. It is an exciting occasion. It is truth that Jesus loved us and he died for us. And when you're in class and you're singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, God didn't ever want us to forget that. And so he commanded the church to have 2 ordinances. And ordinances means something God ordained or commanded. The first ordinance is baptism. That's the first ordinance when you first get saved. God tells his people he wants them to be baptized so they can be officially, publicly identified with Christ and his church. The second ordinance is what we're going to do right now. And so I'm just going to go ahead and ask Brother Davidson and Brother James, could I ask both of you just to come to the front of this time, because I'll need you kind of interspersed throughout this. Would you slip a hand up in the air if you need a copy of this? I think we've got one in the back over here. Brother Davidson, do you need a copy?
No.
Okay. Okay, very good. So you can have a seat, and Brother Cooper will be bringing this around. All right, let's go ahead and look through this. We're going to turn to number 117 in our hymn books. Number 117. And we'll sing, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Do you have a copy? We need a copy up here at the piano. Okay, very good. Very good. All right, 117. Let's stand together to sing number 117. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Let us go before the throne, as we remember that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent by the Father to be our sacrifice. Now we're going to go ahead and pass out the bread, which is just a picture, a symbol to help us remember and think about the body of Christ. And as we take the bread, we're going to hold it until everyone has it. And then once everyone has it, I'll read a short piece and we'll eat it together.
And even as we eat the bread, I would ask you to remember that it is just as your teeth are crunching that bread, it is our sin that brought Christ to the crucifixion. We were the one. He was marred more than any man for us. I'm going to go ahead and ask the men if they'll stand now, and we'll pass out the bread. I'm going to ask you to pray first. Mr. James, will you lead us in prayer tonight, giving thanks for the body of Christ that was broken for us?
Father, even tonight, as we think about what he went through, the suffering, the beating that he took on our behalf, the way that his body was beaten and broken, he was done for us, and we're so thankful for that. Thankful for the salvation that we have that was won there on the cross. So I pray, Lord, even tonight, as we have this communion service, that we will just really reflect on that and be grateful for what your Son, our Savior, did on our behalf. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you take your hymn books and turn to number 137, the Bible says, as they were eating, he took bread and gave thanks and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples, saying, take, eat. Now, as the men are distributing the unleavened bread, let's go to number 137. And 137 in your hymn books, you please keep your seats. 137. Father, we're so thankful that you sent your Son to take our sins. Thank you that he was broken for us. And we want to remember and rejoice in our Savior whom we love. In Jesus' name, amen. This is my body, said Jesus, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, after the same manner also, he took the cup after supper and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. I'm going to ask if Mr. Davidson would lead us in prayer, thanking the Lord for the blood of Christ shed for us.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, Lord, the shedding of your blood for the remission of our sins, Lord. We just come to you tonight and we ask that you wash over us again, Lord, in your cleansing blood. Lord, help us to come to you and serve you fully with our hearts and minds, Lord. We just, again, thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Would you turn to 360 in your hymn books as the men distribute the juice, the congregation, I'd like you to sing, There Is a Fountain, number 360. I have some alternate readings here. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Altogether, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in the kingdom of God, in my Father's kingdom. And they all drank of it. Amazing Grace is 336. 336. Would you stand as we sing this? We will not sing all the verses, but 336. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom.
So let us go before the throne as we remember that the Lord Jesus shall return for us, and as we realize that His return could be any day. Father in heaven, Lord, we want to celebrate Your Son's death for us till He come, until we see Him face to face. Lord, we look forward to rejoicing in the joys of heaven, knowing that in Your presence is fullness of joy. And Lord, we rejoice even now and get ready for heaven as we consider Christ. And I pray as we sing this final song tonight, Blessed Assurance, that You would encourage Your people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. This particular order of service that we're going through tonight was put together by the man who trained me to be a pastor. You see, there's some notes in here we didn't follow, and I may have messed up the order a little bit. I didn't put this together. The man who trained me, I think I was his 65th man that he trained to be a pastor. And so I hope to call him this week and just say we celebrated Lord's Supper and we used what You taught me 20 years ago. And we're still holding fast to the faith. And I want you to be encouraged that your labor was not entirely in vain. There was a time when I was being trained by a pastor, Manly, and he asked me a question that I should have known. And I looked at him and I didn't know. I actually called him. The situation was, it happened here in town, and he asked me a question about a church that was in the area that had caused a little grief. And I called him and said, Dr. Manly, what is this? And he said, let's go to the website and look. And he walked me through it. And he said, you don't recognize the names of their guest speakers? And I said, no. And he said, I failed with you. And he was joking, I hope. But he did help me a great deal. I look forward to calling him this week and just saying, our whole church, we had Lord's Supper, and we used the format that You gave us one time to use in a church down the road, and still serving the same Savior as best we know how. So we will dismiss with us singing Blessed Assurance. Let's go to 393. We'll close to sing number 393, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Will you stand together for our final hymn? God be with you. You are dismissed.